Hey guys, welcome to Real Good. I'm Sarah Luke, and today I'm here with a very, very dear friend. You can go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Cassie.
Okay, Cassie, let's tell them a little bit like how we know each other. Tell about our background.
Okay, we know each other because we worked on Teen Mom together in our little office hub.
Yes, I think me and Cassie went for each other pretty, like we like spotted each other and realized really quickly we need to be friends. I think it was like a very quick,
it was very
easy, smooth, yeah. Natural thing. Yeah, started with us just eating lunch together.
Oh my god, those lunches pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah, they did. But being like the only black girls, automatically I feel like it's either automatic competition or friendship.
Exactly. I think we definitely chose friendship.
Yeah, I think we very quickly did. We're also like really nice, so there was no like
it was like, okay, you know what, let's be a team. And I think us choosing to be a team gravitated to our other members choosing to be a team.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I felt like everyone did their own thing, but we also needed each other.
Absolutely.
And we just dropped that barrier really quick.
Yeah, I've talked to our other coworkers about this, and we absolutely changed the whole system of how they were there. Before that, coordinators and PAs were not like even working together like that. Mm-hmm. We absolutely came in and brought a dynamic that changed everything. Mm-hmm. And me and you led that.
I definitely think so. Absolutely. We can toot our horns to that for sure.
Yes. Okay, so today we are talking about what holds you back. Because I think me and you have a lot of parallels with like our career, as in the sense of like how we've been in it. We're both very like anxious, shy people. Yeah. And that can be very hard working in TV with that. It's like a formula for disaster.
And I think a lot of times, even though the core of who we are is anxious and shy but hardworking, for you it may come off a little bit more bubbly. And then for me, it definitely probably comes off a bit bitchy.
Right. So, we kind of
see that in each other. And it's like, okay, we guide each other through it.
Definitely. So I know that we both, me and you, go through the same struggle of like wanting to create, wanting to take action. But there's just this thing. And in the sense of wanting to create creatively, but also like wanting to say something, even wanting to say hi to talent or something, or wanting to like reach out and ask for an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But I've noticed we have this invisible like block.
Yeah.
This thing that just is still there. And, you know, it's very easy to be like, oh, it's our own fault. We do it to ourselves. Oh, speak up. Oh, be bold. Oh, this. But like, we both know that there are so many things in our lives that have built that block up.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about that. We're talking about what holds you back. And let's get into it with the childhood. We can talk a little about what held us back in childhood, because we know that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Were you the same way in childhood? Like, you were shy and a little hesitant to go for things?
I think in childhood I was very overlooked in a sense.
Yes.
So I felt like I had to go hard for what I wanted.
Yeah.
But I had to do it physically. I was never going to do it verbally. And I think that's what makes me so shy, because I felt like I was always either kind of cut off or something more important was going on.
Yeah.
So I just felt like, all right, I have to like get it right. And then growing up with I'd call him a sibling because we're 4 years apart. Mm-hmm. He's super like a prodigy, and I have to like work at it.
Interesting. So
if you've ever watched Hey Arnold, Helga and Olga, Helga, where I'm like, I'm all mad and like, I gotta get it right and I gotta get it going, and where he's just this gifted little, of course you get all, like, you are amazing.
I never knew that. That's so interesting.
Yes.
Oh man. I would say for me, it starts with the siblings too. Mm-hmm. It starts with the siblings and the parents, but it starts with the sibling dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I'm a middle child, single parent household, two boys, only girl. So I think I came from the same thing of feeling over, and also like, you know, chubby kid. So like overlooked, I think that's where it started. It's like these lies and rules you make for yourself at a young age that you don't realize you've made, that mm-hmm. you keep carrying on.
Yeah.
So like, what, like in childhood that you, like when you were growing up and you were young, were there, like, what did you want to do that you didn't, like, that you didn't go for, that you didn't do? Were there things like, can you talk a little about that?
You know what? There's nothing that I went for that I didn't do because I didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I had no backing.
Oh,
I remember just stupid. Oh my God. I remember when cell phones were coming out, and my biggest thing was if my mom called me when I was out and my phone was dead, my ass was grass.
Right.
But you know, pictures on the phones came out, and you wanted to take pictures on your phones, you wouldn't record thing on your phones, and that would drain the battery.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with an idea to have charging stations
where
you can charge your phone at the mall. You can pay someone if you want to.
A long time ago, right?
It was years ago because I just hated leaving. I got anxious about it at one point.
Yeah.
And I was like, this would be so smart. They did this at like concerts and malls.
Yep.
It would be, I would concerts never have to worry about getting my,
that at
yeah, I would never have to worry about getting my phone taken away because that would be your thing. You're taking it away. Weren't using it.
Right.
And I remember there was times in my life where we either had a lot of money or we didn't. It was kind of no balance type situation.
Yeah.
And there was a time where I felt like we were doing okay-ish and I felt like I had that idea overlooked. And if I had a dollar for every like idea of mine that kind of creepily, not creepy, like came into fruition.
Absolutely.
That I'm like, till this day my mom was like, every time she sees one, she goes, oh my God, that was your idea.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and you did nothing.
Exactly. So
It was just like, I felt like a lot of what I wanted that wasn't like cutesy was kind of all talk.
Yeah.
If I wanted to be a dancer, sure, whatever. Of course you can.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to have a company?
Right.
Crickets.
Yeah. So I can see the thing. It started with those limitations in childhood. Yeah. That's, I didn't know that thing about the sibling thing. That's really interesting.
I don't talk about it much. Just a little.
Because
I don't want to seem like I resent him because I don't.
No, absolutely. Oh, girl. But, we could get the sibling things is a whole nother episode. No, it's just interesting to me because, like, you're just, like, the most capable. Like, you seem like you would be, like, the star. To me, sibling, like the star daughter,
not.
Like the but then that would go back to our parents too, and like that would go back to like
yeah,
and like I know I've after talking to you a little bit, like I can that's starting to make sense to me, especially like dad not there always, so like the male figure there is like the one. That's a whole nother episode.
Straight praise.
Yeah.
Could do no wrong, but didn't do wrong much in a sense anyway.
Whoa, so. I think I just hit on something.
What?
Of not another male in the house, so the males that are in the house are the ones that are... I've Coddled always hit on, like, I've always talked about and known how sons are, like, raised up as the perfect ones, but I didn't ever really place it as far as, like, in a single-parent household as them being the one males there, like, the only males there.
Yeah.
And that being the reason... That's just a lot. Okay.
It is. It's a lot to unpack.
Okay, so like we got that. So what holds you back now? So that kind of, so we started those limitations from childhood. And would you agree where eventually it was you doing it to yourself more so than I think it's not that I use race a lot, but I am so hurt and tired from it. That to me, it is the automatic like thing. It's a big thing in my life, and it's always a thing that's on. It's like the things are always going to be harder because of this. I always have these limitations because of this. This will always be the same, and I think that does a lot of damage to myself.
And you know what? I can agree to that. I think for a long time, I tried to make it not about race
because
I think it's so stupid that I couldn't justify you didn't give me this because of this.
Yeah.
I told myself it's something I was doing here, doing this. So I did a lot of personal beating up because I couldn't justify something so idiotic as the color of my skin being the reason why I'm not getting here.
Exactly.
I just, I'm such a logic and reason person.
Yeah.
And to me, that has no logic or reason.
Absolutely.
So for a long time, I overly self-inflicted because I thought to myself, why who has the time to do something like that?
Yeah. Oh, they got time though, girl.
Oh, they make the time. Yeah. It's a 9-to-5.
So it's like for me it's a struggle of that, but then also the reality of it. Like actually like it is real. It is true. But it's like this big monster that I've like get so I can't do that because I'm black. Are they gonna do this because I'm black? They're always gonna look at this.
Mm-hmm.
And but in addition to those fears, those like that how we blow it up. It is real. So we have to deal with the realities of it and with our like exaggerated perception of it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think the biggest thing that holds me back now is still fear. I am really limited by fear and I can't quite name the fear, but a fear of rejection is my big basis of my fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of rejection from, it starts from a rejection of parents, you know, cause like divorced household, that starts in your childhood cause one parent technically rejected you.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts there and then it grows through adolescence. It grows into like, you know, being big and being like insecure about that grows into a fear of rejection from boys. Mm-hmm. So I never like ask boys out, never talk to boys. And then that turns into, oh, I'm not going to audition for this school. Cause I'm like,
yeah,
it just is a fear that grows. And I think that is the biggest thing, but it's crazy. Cause I am not afraid of not being good enough or talented enough. Mm-hmm. So I don't know quite what I'm, I know I'm good before I ever did stand up.
That's so crazy that you say this, because yeah. I feel like I'm the exact opposite.
Opposite, yeah.
Where you know that you're good at this, but you feel the rejection of what you go through and your insecurities. Whereas I won't say like I'm this gorgeous girl or anything like that, but I've never really struggled with getting the attention of someone I liked.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, but why do you like me? I've always wanted someone to like me because of me. And I feel like I struggled with personal identification.
Yeah.
Because for a long time, I just wanted someone to take me seriously or really listen to me.
Yeah.
That I just was like, do I even feel this passion about it? Or do I feel like, no, you're going to listen to what I have to say.
Yeah.
So when it came to it, I found them a little bit more annoying. And I'm like, oh, please. Like, you just, what do you like about me?
Do
I just fill a quota of like pretty tea? Like, what is it? And I think that held me back a lot in my career, because I would think, you're not nice to me or whatever, because you want to be like, what do you really want?
Exactly.
And then I also struggled with like, when I first came into my career, I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm 17 working with people on the road in Live Nation who are like in their 40s and their 50s, and mm-hmm. they're here and they're established, and they don't want some little kid coming around and fucking it up.
Yeah.
And that was a big fear for me too, because I wanted people to know, just because I'm here, I'm not gonna mm-hmm. be inappropriate with anybody.
Yeah.
And that did mess up a little thing that someone liked me. Yeah. And I really thought
Cassie is so modest. I don't know if it's okay to name names, but she could have been. There's a few celebs. Cassie could have been their booze. Like Cassie could have been a made woman.
Yeah.
But like, she just got to. Cassie is. She's a mogul, but she just happens to look like a video girl, okay? Like,
oh my god, that was my first free job. I am in a video.
She's just a mogul who also happens, she's like, I don't like that, you know, like pretty girl stuck in it, but like Cassie is like a made woman appearance wise, and she's stuck in a really hardworking woman's body.
And it keeps me in such a parallel world, because I did really, I wouldn't say that I was a fan of this person. I actually found them a bit annoying at the time, because I just wanted to like be like, I'm a hard worker, you should like take me seriously. And I didn't want other people to not respect me because this person thought I was physically attractive.
Yes.
What do you really know about me? And it kind of annoyed me.
Yeah.
And when I think about it now, I carry that on to my career. I didn't want anyone to downplay me, so I did not talk to people.
Yeah.
I did not network at all. Yeah. Never networked. I was straight up, my resume speaks for me. If you like it, you like it. You don't.
Yeah.
I was quick to do another job before I kissed any ass. I was like, you know what? You're going to see it. You hire me. You don't.
Yeah.
People would ask to go to parties. I would never do it. I was so scared.
I'm the same way. It's like, we just want it to be about the work. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it might be because we're a little socially awkward, but so what? Like, it's hard to, and we work in the industry where we have to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing that holds both of us back, is that need to like, we gotta play the games too. We gotta be social too.
Yeah.
We gotta be friendly too. It's like, and we are nice, friendly people, but we
can draw that line.
Yeah, and we kind of have to protect ourselves.
And I think we're both people who get a lot of, you are so charismatic.
Yeah.
And I think you naturally intrigue people, no matter what you're doing, even if you're, to the point where we talk about this too with, you know, our most previous job together, where it's almost like, they can't figure you out, so they obsess over what you do. And before they go and talk to you, which I feel like we're an obsession even if we're minding our business. And I don't want to toot our horns, but I think that's always a problem that we have.
Exactly.
So we're like, it's like, do we force ourselves to be open to make these people comfortable, or do we be ourselves?
Exactly. And remember, you were there when I was like, we had that meeting, and I was like, don't get it twisted. Like, just because I look like, no matter what I look like, I'm working.
Yeah.
Just because I'm laughing and talking, like, doesn't mean I'm not working. Just because I don't work like you doesn't mean I'm not working.
Yeah.
But I have that problem a lot. People can't figure me out. They think I'm supposed to be really nice. And just because I am naturally polite and nice, they think I'm going to be buddy-buddy. But, like, you got to... We, both of us, we're not going to say you're our friend until you're our friend.
Exactly.
We're that type of people. Just the same way with relationships. I think, like, it's like... is something that has to take a long time.
We don't claim until it's
solid. We never were going to be those girls who were going to date for a few months and get engaged and get married. Like, we is always going to be like a long, and that's proving true for both of us.
Yeah, very true.
But Yeah, it's like really, I think a big thing that holds me back is making friends at the job. Because I feel like I don't need, I don't know, it's weird. It's not that I don't want to, but I have to be comfortable. I have to, and
I have
also,
to feel organic.
Also, we work with a bunch of white people.
Whew.
So that takes a longer time to really trust that and get to know that. And even on a superficial level to like, it's like to even want to do that.
And
like,
when you say it, you don't mean it in like a racist way. I want to just, you know, clarify what she means. When she says it, it's like we are the minority a lot of time. And we don't, sometimes we're about passing our place. Is that a good way to say it?
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
A lot of times me and you worry about passing our place or getting too comfortable. And they're like, look at those girls. They're hella
exactly.
comfortable. So it's not a matter of like, oh, we don't want it. Like, no, we love the friends that we have
exactly.
that are Caucasian.
Yeah.
But we do a lot of times worry about them thinking that we're being inappropriate or trying to get something from them because this is a field of entertainment.
Absolutely. And like in life, sure, all the friends I want. At work, is a different story because it's different.
And I struggled with that too. I feel like an idiot. I've worked with two girls. I can say their names. I worked with Nikki and Megan in Live Nation for I don't know how many years. I've worked with these girls and I've like always kept them at a base level because I was always really nervous about them thinking that like I was being inappropriate. And I just never wanted, and we were all the same age, so I thought they all felt the same way I did.
Yeah.
My opportunities have flourished since I started organically talking to people I like. I like
you.
I want to exchange numbers. Let's hang out. She's working with an artist right now, so she's in New York, and she's been asking me to hang out, and I was so scared to her not to like me or something. Just stupidness. And we had the best time.
Yeah.
And to the point where we did not want to separate. We spent 5 to 6 hours together.
Yeah.
And it was just the best time. And I've watched my career flourish in a matter of months. From organically speaking to who I like. I don't have to cut everybody off. I don't have to be short with everyone.
Yeah. I think that's something we're going to have to explore for a long time with what holds us back. It's, you know, we have all these ideas and it's just the action. How do I take action?
And how do we get, for some reason, why are, like, what's the best word for it? When we have actions, why can't they be profitable? Why are they cute little ideas?
Exactly.
I'm
told a lot of times my ideas are not valid, and then even by friends
cringy.
Who follow and love me, told by something is okay 2 weeks later it blows up, something, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing. Even just on a small like little thing, so you know Seth Rogen has his new like weed company.
I love me some Seth. Yeah,
he designed a three-piece ashtray thing. I designed a three-piece, I'm not gonna say what it is because I'm still putting it out. I designed a three-piece ashtray set months ago. Like, mm-hmm. I had the idea, but it was it's a different thing. But I would more so say me and Seth Rogen just have a lot of the same ideas anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's a frustration of, I know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm on pulse. This is what I do. Like, I'm on the pulse of what is hot in television and everything. Like, I know what I'm doing, even if my job doesn't reflect that. So, getting rejected from people when you know what the fuck you're doing and talking about is really makes you not want to open up to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you doubt yourself even if you don't doubt yourself.
I think for us, we work in a world where we make the impossible happen every day.
Yes.
So why can't we do it?
That's exactly it.
We you tell me we're going to do a show in Times Square. We're going to have a fake Eiffel Tower 6 feet tall. Okay, I'm getting on the phone. I'm hiring the crew to do it. I'm going to get the permits to do it. I'm going to figure out what days are tangible for everyone to get this done. I'm going to get the wiring done. And then I'm going to have the city make sure that it's available for us.
Yeah.
This happens because it's our job. We deal with creative people and we make their dreams come into a practical view. Like it's possible because we make it possible.
Yeah.
So when I hear someone tell me my idea is impossible, I'm like, you should see what I make happen
exactly.
every day.
Exactly. And why would you think that what I do professionally can't translate to what I do?
Because some people don't want it for you.
Exactly. I have faced this a lot. It's not like I have a lot of hate, but I think people project on me a lot because I'm so bold with it.
Mm-hmm.
And because I manifest.
They want you to turn down.
Yeah, I manifest and visualize in a way that is crazy to people. Like I always have been. Like I've been saying, I'm going to be, when I'm famous, when I'm super rich and famous, when I do this, when I have my own this. And people are like, okay. Or that's a lot of, it's like,
you got a lot of your plate.
Like you don't get it.
Or focus on one thing.
Exactly. Like let me, like, mind your business and let me focus on the deal me and God made when I was a child.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, let me, because, like,
yeah.
It's been the same, but people are just, but I guess going back to what holds you back, that does get to me. Of course. Like, even though I am in my head a lot about it, and I'm a lot like, when I vent, I'm like, this person said this, they said this about, they did this. I do a lot of that. I worry a lot. Something that holds me back is worrying about other people and not just fucking worry about myself and moving. Mm-hmm. And also, I think I try to bring people along mm-hmm. who haven't quite earned it, or like people who it's not what they do, so they're not even the right people for it.
I wish we had more time, because it's something that's bugging me about something like that.
Yeah. Well, that's another episode.
Oh, that's another episode.
Keep that idea.
Oh, yeah, that's too deep for this.
And going into the next thing we can talk about is, what lies are you telling yourself? So, like, these, the reason we keep having these fears, we keep being blocked, is because we've been telling ourselves the same thing. So, like, what is something you tell yourself that's a lie?
Oh, my God. I tell myself I can't do it a lot.
Yeah.
I tell myself, like, I'm a B-plus person, but I can never get to A.
Yeah.
For some odd reason, I think my work is not good enough, no matter what it is. I just don't respect it. I definitely feel like I just don't think I'm good enough to do things. I just think my work is never exemplary. And even if someone says it is, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely messed up here. Like, that's a problem. Like, right now, I really want to merge back into PMing a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm like, this is too much. I can't do it. There's too much responsibility. There's no way. And I'm just like, you've already done it. You just did it at another title.
You do it well, too.
Thank you.
I think it's another fun thing if, like, I was gonna say, what's a lie you think you tell your, if we, like, for each other also say a lie we think we tell.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, I think you do tell your, tell that lie that you're not good enough, but also just, like, that you're not, like, pretty enough, too.
Oh, that hurts, because it's
true.
I think, like, I'm so unattractive, which is why I'm so confused and people
compliment me. I think you just don't get time to do what you used to do and put, like, get dressed up and go out a lot. Like, and that really, I mean, I feel that. And it just makes you think you're not, but, like, bitch, come on. Every time you do anything with a hair or anything, it's like, oh, yeah. But I know you're holding back on us.
Like, you said this since the day we met. Cassie, you're a different person, and I know.
Yeah, I see your vacation pictures. Like, I know you're really holding back on us, and I think that you might also do that for a reason. Mm-hmm. When you really need to stun in these hoes and let your hair down and... You are, like, a dime, and, like, do people still say dime? I don't know, but...
That's crazy. You know what it is? I think when I organically used to get cute for work, just because I had something else going on, and I would get... Like, when I first started working in music, the backstages and artists, they weren't that separated.
Yeah,
I used to,
if
you've ever done Jones Beach backstage, it's a circular.
Right.
Everyone runs into each other. And getting that type of attention always made me a little uncomfortable, because then my bosses would point it out, especially.
Makes perfect sense.
And I remember 2017, 2018, I was coming from somewhere going to set, and I got the attention of a main person on a project very publicly.
Yeah.
And it made me very uncomfortable. And that, like, I won't say it's any harassment. He was just paying me a compliment.
Yeah.
But to see the way other people reacted to that compliment made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To the point where I started separating myself and going back to, like, not wearing any makeup, hair in a bun, hoodie, sweats. You'll never see me cute for work. Because I was always so scared of, like, people not wanting to bring me back on.
Yeah, we really lie to ourselves that we have to make other people comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing you do too.
Oh,
I think you aren't as smart. That's the wrong word.
Wait, guys, Cassie just sounded dumb.
No, you aren't as pushy about how intelligent you are, and that irritates me.
Yeah.
Because when Sarah Luke gets to talking, she will break down exactly why this is possible, how long it will take, what needs to get done. And it's not going to take you 50 minutes. It's in 10.
Yeah.
If they don't get it, it's because they don't want to. And it's more so, did this bitch just know all of this the whole time? Like, it's more of a confusion when she speaks. Like, oh my, who is this?
The same thing happened in school. Like, I just, you know, I told you earlier, I didn't ever get to know my teachers and stuff. And I distinctly remember in English, I was an English minor. So in an English class, I wrote a paper. It was like a dual identity thing, double identity. It was W.B. Du Bois, I brought up about, this was when Obama was, I don't remember if he was voted or if he was running, if he was just elected. And I brought up his identity, double identity, because the W.B. Du Bois' thing is about being black and in America and American, and mine was like being biracial and black. Mine brought in that. And after class, he's like, we stay after class? And he's like, where did this come from? He's like, this is you? And he's like, you this whole time? And I'm like, yeah. And he changed the way he taught his course because of that paper. And his wife changed the way she taught her course. And I still didn't learn my lesson. I still don't, like, get to know my teachers and stuff, but...
But I want to make it clear when I say this, she does not pretend to be dumb. She is not ditzy. She doesn't act like that. She just doesn't talk much.
Yeah, that's it. That's
she
it.
She lets her work speak for her, but that's very, exactly very humbly.
Yeah, so going... I think that that feeds into the lie I tell myself is that people don't want me to win. People mm-hmm. don't want to see me win. People don't like me. Mm-hmm. Even though I do not have the evidence to back that up. Especially people not liking
me. Especially, you should have said, we had a boss and she had to let our boss know that she was not green to this and she's not new to this and that she's true to this because we had a meeting about the way some things were going down. And if y'all saw my smirk, I had the illest smirk on my face. I was like, arched eyebrow and everything. If I could have threw up the middle finger, I said, like, you... I would have been a true Jamaican with some gun fingers in the air going, bop, 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 bop.
It's like I tell myself that they don't like me, and so then I hold back, and then they end up not liking me after I hold back.
Because they think, they probably think that you think that they're stupid. That I don't like them, yeah. Because they don't deserve this level of you.
Absolutely.
And they probably think,
and
oh
they
my
don't.
God.
And they don't.
Because they don't.
But no, you're right. Yeah. It does end up being like the same for, you know, when you're quiet and shut up, people are like, oh, yeah, she's stuck up. She's a ditty. It's like, no, I hate myself. I just want to be good.
And then nobody wants to sympathize with, you know that thing, pretty privilege. I don't think I get that. Right. I think it's like this bitch. She gets like she doesn't need any help. She's she'll be. I get that she'll be fine a lot. And I'm actually, I am drowning. It would be very nice if I did get some help.
Yeah, I'm.
My pretty privilege does not get me anywhere.
Right. I'm definitely seen as somebody who doesn't need help.
I think that
except
a lot.
When it's in condescending. Yeah. In a condescending way, like, oh, you can't do it. So
it's in condescending of like, I don't want to give you the reward of it. I think.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you that you just killed it.
I've told that the hater thing and the lie, like, I've been told myself that for a long time about, like, people don't want to see me win. I had maybe a couple years ago, I had a hallucinogenic experience, a solo hallucinogenic experience where I finally got that people love me and want to see me win. And I really, like, was like, it was, like, overwhelming because I was like, I've been playing this whole thing wrong, but I still... I'm learning that. But I mean, I have like an insanely supportive and wide network of support, and I'm not even like that popping yet, but they're just waiting and they're still supporting. And I think that biggest lie is that people don't like me. grumbling the tumbling. Okay. What are you being held back from?
I think mostly, I think a lot of times if I bring my ideas to life and I mention it to people, a lot of times they don't want to pay me for it. Like, right. I've let this go, but I wanted to do consulting. I wanted to train PAs to find their appropriate niche and put into what they want to do. So they don't, like, I feel like I wasted a lot of time.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't know how much I liked creative. Yeah. Because I took whatever was given to me because I just wanted to stay somewhat in my industry.
Definitely.
And I do not like how celebrities are treated now.
Yeah.
They don't get to have any leeway in life. And I think their privacy is so bombarded that I know. And even telling, I think the first person I told I really want to be an actress to was you. I'm like, I want to be an actress.
Yeah.
And you were like, huh? And I remember, oh my God, I remember I wanted to audition for something at a job I worked for.
Yeah.
No one knew when it was happening.
Right.
No one knew when the casting was taking place. None of that was possible.
Yeah.
And I end up accidentally auditioning for it.
Yeah.
And I only found out I was accidentally auditioning for it because I thought I was doing stand-in with the person for way too long. I was hungry and I walkie to get a fucking lunch break because it was 2 hours long. And then I was told, oh, you did great. I'm like, did great at what? Oh, you just like, and I'm like, oh, that was the audition. So I just stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel like, am I being, are y'all holding me back?
Exactly. I remember Ashley in the office, seems like we're both held back from the same exact thing. Because, like, what I mean by that is, like, what is the thing you're trying to get to? If we are both being held back from being famous actresses.
That's what we want.
Yes. And I remember I asked you, I was like, if you could be doing anything in the entire world, right? I like to ask that question. Because I like to get to, as an actor, the question we always ask is, what do you want? That's, like, the motivating question for acting. Like, when you're trying to get to a character, like... What's the point of this scene? You have to ask yourself, what do I want? What do you want? So I like to ask people that question to, like, just get to the root of it. Because when you ask that question, everything else follows because of that. All your actions you take, when you're clear on that, everything will follow. So I was like, if you could be doing anything in the world, what would you do? And you're just like, I'll be an actress. And that was, you had told me you wanted to be an actress before that too, but like I just asked you again that day. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah. Yeah, dude, that's it. That's why I'd be like, as frustrating as I am at my job I'm at now or any job I ever have, it's going to be hard until I am an actor. Because it's not, I'm somebody who always know what I wanted to do. I'm somebody who's always seen it, always, and always worked towards it. I've been working towards this since I was 6 years old, 5 years old. And nothing else, I'm good at other shit, but nothing else is going, because I'm somebody who operates on love and passion, nothing else is going to fit and fulfill me completely until I am an actor. Mm-hmm. So we, like, I'm being held back from being a famous actor with directing and writing my own shows and movies, mm-hmm. point blank.
Yeah.
And okay, so like our last little question I wanted to ask you is, how do you fight what holds you back?
Oh my gosh, I write that shit down. Mm-hmm. I write down everything that I feel like I cannot do, and I throw that shit away.
Yeah, that's perfect.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I talk to my friends. I get that reassurance. I spend time around people who I know love me, who got my back, and I also just fucking keep going.
Yeah.
Like, I just stay. I don't move home. I stay here. I keep watching more TV to learn, more movies to learn what's going on. I keep going after creative endeavors like this podcast. I brought this podcast back. I think it is important to talk to people who know your worth to remind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's major too. And I think one thing for me personally, if I have enough time to say that, I remember one time, oh my God, this was like, I'll never forget this because I felt like I was in a movie of like just sad girl shit. Oh my God, my stomach, excuse me. So I remember we had this delicious food next to us and I'm smelling it. But I remember one time I went through a tragic breakup. This is the man that I thought, oh my God, I'm going to have all these kids for and I'm going to marry. And such a tragic breakup. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling so insecure with my home life and I was stressed out and I was fighting for this career that I felt like was so seasonal and I was just getting so lost. And I remember I cried and I could not sleep in my bed, so I slept on the floor for 3 days. I lost so much weight because I don't think I ate anything. I just drank a lot of water. And the day came when I got a call for work and I literally got up off the floor, mm-hmm. and I went to work. And that's when I realized no one's saving you. No one's doing anything for you.
No.
If when you hit rock bottom, that's it. It's rock bottom.
Yeah.
You have nothing left to do now but scrape yourself up or whatever's left of you and keep moving. And I think that's one thing that I do with these fears. I'm like, okay, yeah, and then what else happens? I sit here and think about you for the next 12 days?
Right.
No, I'm going to get up and grind out for this.
Yeah.
Oh, a no, some rejection, fine. You're not meant to like this. Somebody else.
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, I didn't even actually mean for this all to just be a career thing, but it because that's who we are. That's like what
we're career women.
Our driving force in life is this career. It's not even career, it's just it's not even just career, because it's just dreams, I think. Yeah, I just realized the other day, I was like, yo, I guess I am like focused on my career. Not even, because to me, I'm not where I need to be, so I wouldn't even, I was like, nah, bitch, I'm a career woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think about this all the time. I talk, the show I work on, I watch it all the time.
We were fans of what we worked on, which was crazy.
I'm currently binge watching it still. Like, I text my coworkers about the show, what's going on. Like, it's annoying, but I'm just that bitch. Like, I am that, I'm a career woman. Wow. Yeah, how did that happen?
I think it's so funny. I think if two other women sat here with these five questions, you would have gotten totally different conversation out of it.
For sure.
I don't think it would have had anything to do this much with work. I think it would have been, I hate to say it, probably friends and relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all I see these days. And I'm like, okay, all right, we get it. You need that. But
yeah.
I think we are get this first and those things come along.
Definitely.
I don't mind it either. I like us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this was so great, Cassie. And I said I wanted this a 35-minute episode and we are at 34 minutes and 40 seconds. All right. Well, let's go eat some lunch now.
Yeah,
thank you so much for doing this with me, Cassie.
Thank you for having me.
Do you have anything to plug?
Oh my God, not yet. But ooh, tune in for Gossip Girl HBO. I'm working on it. Boom!
Cassie loved Gossip Girl K, and she works on it now. That's another really great thing about this.
Yeah, some hype.
All right, y'all.